Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Kyle. Welcome to the conversation. Today in the conversation, we're going to talk about Louis van Gaal and his demands for Manchester United. Is he the right choice? Are things going to change? We're also going to talk about the U.S. Marine, who now we're finding out abandoned his troops and possibly was kidnapped on purpose to allow terrorists to be released. That and a whole bunch more, the conversation shall begin right now. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever not perish, whoever not believe in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. Excuse me. Welcome to the program. It's kind of a impromptu one because I'm taking my car to shop and didn't know if I'd get back to the studio in time and all, but thank you for joining me. Your half an hour is not wasted. Let's get started. One thing I want to get into is something with Manchester United. Louis van Gaal has basically indicated to Ed Woodward that, hey, these are the players I want to transfer. I want these players. You know, take them or leave them. And I really think he is that type of manager that is going to be not taking anything but yes. You know, you might as well not even come back to Old Trafford if you can't get these transfers you want. I'm going back to David Moyes. Did the fans, I didn't want Cristiano Ronaldo back. I don't want him back. I mean, he might come back sometime in the future, but I don't want him. He's too one-sided. I want a player that is going to do what it takes to help win the game, whether he is the victor or not. I would rather have a guy that doesn't score a goal, but he passes the ball and allows other players to score than someone that's going to try to go for glory and screw up because he tries to score every goal. Louis van Gaal, I think, is the perfect fit for Manchester United and what this team needs. Someone that, hey, I'm the manager. If you want to be the manager, go ahead. I'm the manager. I'm saying what goes. Take it or leave it. I want Kevin Strootman. I want, you know, these players, take them or leave them. I want Southampton fullback Luke Shaw. Take him. I want him. I don't care. There is no. I'm not taking no. If you don't get him on this team, don't even come back to Old Trafford. That's the kind of Louis van Gaal I'm seeing right now, and I love it. I'm glad David Moyes wasn't like that because I don't know if I'd want Cristiano Ronaldo back. He did more with Manchester United than ever's done under Real Madrid because when he was with Manchester United, he had a Ballon d'Or trophy. They had club cups. They had FA Cups. He hasn't done hardly anything with Real Madrid. He's too one-sided. He's too, look at me, instead of, hey, I'm a man, I'm a player, and I'm a player on a board. And I'm not the only player there. It takes everyone to win the game. It takes everyone to be successful. It takes the midfielders. It takes the right backs. It takes everybody. You know, even a goalie is responsible for helping you win. And that's kind of how I feel. Excuse me. This going from cold to hot and hot to cold and, you know, this rainy and stuff, it's just getting my throat really dry. Not a lot of humidity, and that really humidity sucks in one way, but it helps my throat and helps me and just gives me, you know, some room to breathe, I guess. But I think when you look at someone like Louis van Gaal, I think once he comes back, and I think the World Cup's going to set the tone. If he can do really well in the World Cup, I really think he is going to do, it's just going to transfer. If he flubs up in the World Cup, then I think there's going to be issues. But the thing I feel, and people talk about this, and there's a simple answer. Look at how good the Premier League's one of the best. The Western England one of the best teams. Well, the Premier League is made up of many different people from all over the world. Okay, and then they go back to Brazil or Denmark or Germany or whatever, you know. World Cups, I think, are so hard because very rarely are you playing with that team on a consistent basis. It's kind of like saying, okay, we're going to take all these great players and put them on one team, and then, but they don't, unless they've played together a lot, they haven't had time to gel. So, it's just one of those things that when they don't have time to gel, it's hard to get a good team, in my opinion, in the World Cup, because you're not playing with those players all the time. But enough about that. I think he's a good choice. You know, this excuse me, philosophy of, like, hey, I want these players, get them or don't come back type mentality that he seems to be having right now, I love it. I love it. I think he's a great fit. I mean, you think about it like this. When the Bears were doing the Super Bowl shuffle with Mike Ditka, that was when Alex Ferguson started around there coaching Manchester United. He just left a year ago, a year and a half ago now. He is going to be hard to replace in any facet. I think Louis van Gaal is going to do a better job. I don't expect him to be an Alex Ferguson. I just think he's going to do a better job. I mean, that's point blank. Now we're going to move on to some very exciting news. The Marine that has been escaped. Oh, he was in battle and was kidnapped. And we can't wait for 30 days to go through Congress because his life could be in jeopardy and all this crap that the White House is trying to pull. Well, he could be sick and he could die. And what if he died and we didn't just act? Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. If that was George Bush, they'd be like, here we are at war again. Like, this goes out to my friend Tina, who I tagged, and hopefully she can listen to this. She's like, well, everyone's talking about guns. Everyone's talking about gay rights and all this stuff and marriage and all this gay marriage and all these things about gun control and all this. But guess what? When it comes to $5 gallon gas, why is anyone talking about it? What's $4? Gee, guess who's in the White House? Our savior, Barack Obama. He can do no wrong. He can't. It's a double standard. Like I said on the program a while back ago, George Bush couldn't admit to using illegal drugs. Why? Because there are people in the Texas prison system that are in prison for all but he has admitted to using, and he is allowed to run for president. I can't believe this. And there were these liberals on ABC, on the Sunday show where they do like the Politics Nation and stuff, and they do like Sunday shows on CBS and ABC and NBC and MSNBC, and they do all these things, and they were going off at how can people be in prison and for doing drugs and being busted for illegal drugs, and George Bush did illegal drugs, and he can run for president. If he can run for president and has used illegal drugs, how can they be in, why are they in prison? Why aren't they released? He shouldn't be allowed to run for president because of that. Well, Barack Obama, I used cocaine, heroin, I was messed up, I was drunker than hell in college, I don't remember half of it, and that's perfectly acceptable. Excuse me. It's a double standard here, folks. I guarantee you, if Mitt Romney was president, they'd be going ballistic about the gas price being $4 a gallon. They'd be going irate. But they're not, because it's not a Republican in the White House. They have an agenda. What happened way back in the day is this rich man had gold. And he bought a big vault to store his gold to make sure it was safe. And he had a lot of area. So what did they do? They said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'll rent you space in there to store your gold. And people would put their gold in there, and they'd store the gold for him. And he would give them, you know, he'd give them their gold whenever they wanted for a fee. A primitive bank. And then what happened? Well, I'll lend you some of my gold. You know, I'll give you an ounce of gold. You give me an ounce and a half back. So I get some interest. Well, then they started, well, I will give you a certificate that's worth gold. So instead of you lugging around gold, you want an ounce of gold, I'll give you a ticket that says you own an ounce of gold, and you can spend that. And then if you give that to someone, they have the ounce of gold. And as long as they have that, they can give it to me, and here's a certificate, and I can give them an ounce of gold that they want. This country would be really screwed right now if everyone said, okay, I'm taking my money out of the bank. There's not enough paper money to give everyone money. And that's what's going on in this country, because they've gotten to the point now where people that are selling certificates for gold that don't exist, to where if every person that had a gold certificate said, hey, I want my physical gold now, I don't want this piece of paper, they would be up the creek without a paddle. And that's what I watched this documentary, and I put it on my Facebook. If you're a friend, check it out. It's about fiat currency and about how this world is falling apart. Do you know why? Because in 1963 in this country, 64, they decided to take God out of the currency and take gold and silver out of currencies. And why? Because if you have gold and silver in currency, you can't print all you want. You can't make all you want. You can't live on an unsustainable budget. You have to live within your means, because you can't silver and gold. That's what this whole program was about, because they're just printing, they're trying to print their way out of debt. It's like saying, okay, well, this antibiotic we gave you didn't work, so what's the doctor going to do? We're going to increase the dose of the antibiotic. No. If it's not working, don't use it. What are most nations in this country doing, including the U.S.? How are we going to get ourselves out of debt? We need to just print more money. Well, we need to get these roads fixed. So we'll just do another stimulus. We'll just print more money and print more money and print more money. Don't worry. We'll be able to give you people your $30 an hour job paving these roads, because we'll just do another stimulus bill and print more money. And just print more money. And what happens to something when you print it over and over and over again? When you have like 4 or 5 baseball cards, it's rare. A 1959 Gibson Les Paul is rare, and it's really good quality. Made with best materials, and there's not many. There's not many, so it's very, very valuable. What would happen if all of a sudden they found another 500 Les Pauls? The price would drop some, because there were known more that were out there. What do you think would happen if all of a sudden we stopped printing all this money and printing all this money? The value would go up. But since they keep printing and printing and printing, it devalues the money. That's why stuff is more expensive. That's why you're not getting as much for your dollar. They need to put God back into the currency. They need to have gold and silver back in the currency. I invest in gold and silver. People are like, what the heck? Why would you do that? That's so stupid. And I'm like, I bought silver that was at like $9 an ounce. That was at 50 at one point. And I've bought it at like $30 and $40. I bought a couple ounces because it was going up. And I'm like, I want to get some just in case it does finally just go through the roof and I can't get it again. And you want to diversify your portfolio. And I really believe that because normally if gold and silver are doing bad, other investments are doing good. If other investments are doing crappy, gold and silver are doing great. And I think it's a matter of time before we have a major world collapse because everyone is basically doing the same thing, trying to print their way out of debt. And that's not the answer, folks. You know, when the antibiotic isn't working, giving the patient more antibiotics is not going to be the solution. Well, you know, we gave them penicillin and it didn't work, so we're going to increase the penicillin. Well, if this antibiotic isn't working at all, doubling the dose of the same antibiotic isn't going to fix the problem. You know? It's not. But I guess, you know, what that's what we're going to do. You know, we're going to... And it's unsustainable. It is unsustainable. And the problem you have, like I said, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and all the Democrats in 2002 were standing around gas stations when it was $3.12 a gallon and $3.19 a gallon saying, we need to get to a person as well as tycoon, but he's out of Washington, and get the gas price down. Well, you want to know what happened? It was $1.70 before George Bush took office. When George Bush was in office, it was on $3 a gallon, $3.19, $3.20, you know, $3.40. When George Bush left, it went back down to about $1.80 a gallon. And when it was done, it went back up under Barack Obama, and it's been, in some cases, higher under Barack Obama than ever under George Bush. But no one seems to care about the gas price because that doesn't fit the liberal agenda, because the liberals can't have their savior, Barack Obama, do anything wrong. Like that one liberal said, I saw on MSNBC once, she said, if Sarah Palin was a liberal, she'd be getting her ass kissed just like Hillary Clinton is. Isn't that interesting? Only if Sarah Palin was a liberal would she be treated just like Hillary Clinton. Praised. That's what's wrong with this country. No one sees it, though. No one sees the fact that two people can do the same thing or say the same thing, but if one's a Republican, one's a Democrat, they get treated differently. But no one sees also that it doesn't matter if you get a Republican or a Democrat in there, you're both getting screwed. That's what people are doing in this day and age. I'm trying to see. I got this little bolt here. I'm trying to find a way for this bolt that I make for 10 cents, I can find a way to sell it to the government because I can sell it for $30. Like if you ever saw the movie My Fellow Americans, me and my girl watched it at the 500th. I was bringing it up. I think it's hilarious. Went into that convenience store and he goes, give me some money. I want something to eat. Okay. Give me $5. What do you want? Get a cheeseburger. You want $5 to buy a $1.99 hamburger and you wonder whether the Democrats are in trouble. That's how this whole country is. When you have stimulus bills and you look into these stimulus bills and there's how many thousands of dollars going to put windows in a building that's abandoned. And sort of like Barack Obama and his social security numbers and all that. It doesn't matter how ridiculous the stimulus money, where it goes, they can at least, even if it doesn't even go there, they can say, well, they can at least say, we're putting windows in this building, whether it's abandoned, whether it's not, whether the money even goes there or not. Like back in the 1950s with the tobacco. We had people smoke for 30 days. And before and after, we had the doctors check their throat. What'd you find, doctor? Well, we found that there's nothing wrong with their throat. I know people that smoke for 50 years and have nothing wrong with their throat, but I guarantee if you cut them open, holy cow, you'd be freaked out with what their insides look like. There was a guy in the 40s, a doctor that was trying to warn people of the dangers of smoking, because when he was cutting open military people during wartime that had smoked and he saw their insides, it was nuts. My point. A lot of stuff's going on in this country, and you're not really, and they're just kind of covering it up. Just to look, you know, well, you know, how can we make it look good when it's not? Well, with this stimulus bill, all we have to say is, all we have to do is say that this money is going to put windows in this abandoned building. Even if it is, that's a waste of money to begin with. But even if it's not, we can justify, we can say, oh, well, hey, it's going to this building. Even though it might not be, they have a way to. I'm one of these people, I believe in UFOs. And some people go, what's an UFO? It's an identified flying object. I believe we know what they are, objects coming from other worlds. It's preposterous to believe that life does not exist somewhere else in this world. The Drake equation, I'm not 100% sure. It's either 10, I think it's 10,000. There's 10,000 possible planets in the Milky Way galaxy that could harbor life as we know it. And that's just in our galaxy, let alone the many other galaxies. And my point, there's a documentary on this where there are many people who claim that they have the knowledge and technology to be able to run a car from the energy around it. See, we have a magnetic grid on this Earth. There are many people who believe not only do we have a magnetic grid on this planet, we have energy grid on this planet. And if you know how to harness that energy grid, you could run your car off it. You could run your house off it, the electricity. You wouldn't need gas, oil. So why don't they come out with it? Because they want people to keep their monopolies with the oil and with the gas. That's why this stuff exists. It doesn't exist. They cover it up. That's why they make you look like a retard when you come out that you've seen things. I talked to, because my first couple shows I did way back in the day were on the paranormal. I talked to some military people, and one guy on his deathbed, and he goes, you have no idea what it was like to keep that secret for 40 years, I had to tell somebody. I said, well, can you go on more? And he goes, to know that life exists outside our planet, we're not alone, and you can't say anything to anyone. You are basically sworn to uttermost secrecy. If you were to come out with it, first of all, they would make sure you would be looked at like a laughingstock. But if you were deemed as anything credible, you wouldn't last, because they would take care of you. You would not exist. And he goes, you think about it like this. Go back 1,500 years, 500 years after Christ, and take that time from 500 to Christopher Columbus going across to discover America in the, you know, the Mayflower. Look at the technology. There wasn't much. In that span, you can go back 10,000 years till 1700s, there wasn't that much technology change. You'd go 1880s to 2000 and look at the technology leap. Look at the technology leap we had since around the time of Roswell. You think about it, folks, and I say this all the time. Roswell was a very closed base. It was the only atomic bomb unit in the world. You had to have the most utmost highest security clearances to work there. You're going to mean to tell me that the best the military had misidentified a weather balloon? I don't think so. They didn't misidentify anything. They called it what they saw, a UFO, until people started to freak out and panic, and the public didn't know what to do, so guess what? Okay, now we got to do something fast. Okay, it's a weather balloon. Don't matter. Okay, these people saw lights in the desert, swamp gas. That's the explanation. I want a Heimlich. How in the heck do you find swamp gas in Nevada? Well, what you have here is, it's not really swamp gas, but this is a carbon monoxide dropping down against the hot sand that makes it look like swamp gas. So that's, you know, they made up all these excuses for what stuff is. Okay, well, 100 people saw this object come down and hover on the ground for a little bit and then fly off. A girl had a birthday party and she had LEDs and helium balloons and let them go, and that's what the people were seeing. Well, they would go up, not down. You know, the whole point of my story is there's lots of evidence that they don't bring out the fact that life outside the planet exists, because what if they found out that they use our energy grid of the Earth to propel their systems? And I have seen and talked to one engineer that said, oh, at Area 51, the attrition rate is very, 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 very high. Suicides are huge because you get these people that think they're, oh, I know, I got a PhD, I'm one of the world's leading scientists in physics and this and that, and then when they find out that they don't really know anything at all, and you mean you can run a car off of the energy around it? Oh, yeah. Why don't we do this? Well, okay, you got a multi-billion-dollar oil industry. That's why, going back into my point with about 2 minutes left, these stimulus bills, well, guess what? Hey, my buddy owns this, and since he gave $4 million to my presidential campaign and I got elected, I owe him now. So I got to put some stimulus money his way. I got to throw stuff his way. But I got to make it look like it's legit, even if it's not. Even if the money's not going there, I can at least say, hey, we're putting money in this building. Yeah, abandoned now, but we're going to make it non-abandoned, because we're going to put windows, well, those are brand new windows. There's nothing wrong with them. You know, like my mom says, there's stuff like these new hearings on Benghazi. They're hardly talking about them on the other networks except for Fox. Like on the thing with the, they did a thing where they have the Nielsen ratings. The replay of Bill O'Reilly's show, The Factor, gets more views than almost every show, well, every show that's on CNN, Headline News, and MSNBC, none of those shows get the ratings that Bill O'Reilly gets on the replay of his O'Reilly Factor. The biggest thing Glenn Beck gets all the time is, okay, what do we do now? I'm surprised that there's a 30% chunk of the people that support this country's government, that trusts them. I don't know how a 30% trust of the government, I don't know how it's, the trust is that high. But the big question is, I'm going to leave you with this, what do we do now? Besides taking all our guns and all our ammo and running to the White House and taking over, what do we do now? That is the question. How do we fundamentally transform this country back to its original roots? God bless you. Goodbye.